Welcome to the Pure Athlete Podcast, a show that exists to equip young athletes, parents, and coaches as they journey through their youth sports experience. We sit down with some of your favorite athletes to hear about their most memorable moments, helpful tips, and valuable lessons from their youth sports career. In today's episode, we focus on the topic of sportsmanship in youth sports. What is it? Why does it matter? And how do we teach it? Enjoy the show!
Hey everyone, back with Pure Athlete. I'm Jeff Francoeur along with Britt Lee and Brad Williams. And today we're talking about, I think, something we're all very passionate about, but hot topic kind of conversation is sportsmanship in this day and age, which is a little different than it was when your kids were there a while back. And even for me, when I played, it's changed a little bit.
Not much. I think it's always been there.
It's only been a few years, Jeff.
It's not like we were parents back in the 40s, you know. And I'm sure they had problems back then, but you know, it's not too long ago. But I think it's been an issue since folks played sports. I think sportsmanship has always. It seems to be. I don't know. Maybe because of media coverage, and maybe because of social media. It seems to be more of a hot button these days, or you're seeing more examples of bad sportsmanship.
I think that's probably the bit. Because of social media, now you're seeing it more live.
Yeah, it's all over the place. And, I mean, one of the reasons we're talking about this is because, you know, we want to remind our audience that Pure Athlete, when we define a pure athlete, it's about becoming the best version of yourself in sports and in life. And we kind of put five pillars around that. And one of those pillars is character. And character can mean a lot of different things, and we talk about it with every athlete that we have on. But sportsmanship is really the residue of good character. And so I think, you know, we felt like it was important to spend some time, in fact, spend a whole episode talking about what sportsmanship is, what it isn't, how do we teach it, all those types of things.
Yeah, well, I'll get it out of the way first, because this is what, you know, I hate when people think about sportsmanship is you don't care if you win or you lose, or, you know, it's okay if you mess up. It's not about, you know, not being competitive. You know, you're not okay with losing. You know, you're not running from the conflict. But I think more than anything, it's, you know, as you hear the saying, you know, win with grace and lose with humility. Mm. And you know, I think that's so true. There's a way to go out to give everything you got, but then at the same time, you know, be able to pull back and see the bigger picture.
Mm, yeah. I think it's kind of really staying within yourself too. It's really understanding that because I think nobody goes into a game thinking they're going to be bad sportsmen. You know, you don't have that as your goal. Like, I'm going to get an argument with the other coach, or I'm going to get an argument with the other team. They usually, well, you feel like they're the ones who provoke you. So you have to, I think as an athlete or as a coach especially, you have to kind of stay within yourself and realize regardless of what happens on the other side of the field, regardless of what anybody else says, my goal is to carry myself this way.
I would say the 80s and 90s Pistons might disagree with you. They went out to wreck shop and have bad sportsmanship.
Well, until we get one of those guys on the podcast to kind of dispute
the bad boys.
Get Bill Laimbeer on here.
Maybe so. But I would just think that that's where my struggle is when I would coach, or I mean, I would go into the game thinking, oh, this is the game. I'm going to not have any issues. I'm not, no matter what they say. And what the other team does, but it's human nature. It's just really hard to kind of resist that urge to want to kind of go back and forth.
I mean, I agree that most kids aren't going out onto the field or the court or whatever thinking, I want to be a bad sportsman. I just think many aren't even thinking about it. And so they're going out there, you know, emulating what they see on social media, emulating what they see on SportsCenter.
Being promoted.
And as parents and as coaches and as adults, we have to speak in with intentionality and teach our kids what good sportsmanship looks like, what it is, what it isn't, just what you said. And I think it's all rooted in this whole idea of, you know, respecting the people that you're playing with and respecting the game. The way you want to be respected as well, that to me is at the root of what good sportsmanship's like.
Well, I like what you said too. it's the parent's responsibility. Look, the coach has to enforce it. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, it's like anything. I sit there at home with my kids watching football, watching, you know, baseball, basketball, whatever it is, and seeing the celebration, seeing this. And, you know, look, it's good, it's fun, it's entertainment, but telling your kids, like, hey, buddy, we don't act like that.
Yeah.
All right? And it's okay to get excited. And I'll be honest with you, I've come a long way with that. Like I've given more rope with the fact of, like, look, there's, you know, guys throwing the bats on home runs, doing stuff. The game has changed a little bit to that extent. And I think it's okay for, you know, a young kid, hit a home run, you get excited. Now,
sure.
When you do it and you turn and look at the dugout, you do it to taunt, like, that's when, to me, you can go over the top. And I don't think you can be nitpicky at every little thing. Look, my dad was. There's no doubt. If I flipped my bat, my dad would have got all over me. But, you know, my dad's also 71, and that's old just school. Who he is, yeah. Man. You know, and I tell him all the time, Dad, the game's changed to a certain extent. So I'm also cognizant of that, but there's also, like you said, a respect your opponent and not showing the other team up. And I think that's where kids have crossed the line.
Well, we see it all the time. I mean, it's not good enough to make a great play in basketball, for instance. It's not good enough to dunk on somebody. Then you got to stand over them and stare them down and, you know, and disrespect them. And that's just, I mean, that's bad sportsmanship, and we should call it like it is.
Yeah. Well, how would you define sportsmanship then, Britt? What would you give it as your definition?
Well, again, I think it starts with respecting the game and respecting the people you're playing with. Sportsmanship to me is behavior. It's how you're behaving when you're playing sports, and you're either behaving badly or you're behaving positively. And you're creating a positive experience if you're a good sportsman. And one of the things I do love in our culture is, in every sport, the people who are known for great sportsmanship, they're admired.
Yep.
And we can name who they are, you know, off the cuff. I mean, the Steph Currys or the Manning brothers. And there's a bunch of great sportsmen out there. But unfortunately, the highlights we see today too often are the guys that are acting badly.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, because, you know, like anything, it draws ratings.
Yeah, and for sure.
People want it. And again, I understand at the major, you know, league level, whether it's football, basketball, it's entertainment too. So I get some of that's going to be played up, the touchdown dances, all this stuff. Yeah. Like, you get that. But that's where I think it's, like you said, your job as parents of these kids to kind of say, we don't do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's not going to be accepted. And then as a coach too, kind of, I think that's where you have to draw the line. We don't do that on this team, you know, and keep that, you know, line in the sand. And it's tough because then sometimes you get in games where the other team starts yelling at you. You know, I just told you this. The amount of high school baseball things that you see now, the dugouts yelling at the dugouts. I'm like, when did that become a thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I couldn't imagine screaming at the other dugout in the middle of the game. I'm like, worry about your own team. You know, worry about the things you can control. But, you know, now it happens, and it's just – it's tough to watch. It really is.
I think you ask, you know, when did it happen? I think it happened because college teams started doing it. And college teams maybe started emulating professional teams who started doing it first, but it's slowly, unfortunately, making its way down to younger age kids who are watching the way a guy acts when he hits a home run, or watching a guy when he scores a goal, and it gets, you know, those are their heroes. I mean, those are kids. We can tell our kids as much as we can how to act, but they're watching their heroes, and that's where you kind of, hopefully as a parent, steer them towards certain heroes and certain role models that you want them to. But if you're getting inundated with athletes not doing the right things and showing up their opponents, these kids end up kind of copying that.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, we have to talk about what's the benefit of being a good sportsman? What's the benefit of having good character? Because there are benefits. I mean, you look at, you know, look at some of the people that are really well known for it, and they're admired. I mean, character is admired by people, and it serves you well in all aspects of life. Now, that doesn't mean you can't succeed with bad character, because there's plenty of examples of that. But it doesn't it doesn't help you in the rest of life. And those are things that we need to teach our kids about life, but where it comes from sports as well.
Well, and that's the thing. You made a good point. Like Steph Curry, the Manning brothers, like, man, you watch them. They compete as hard as anybody you'll see. They want to win as bad as anybody you'll see, but they also know that there's a line.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you think about, for instance, Steph Curry, when we had Dell on here, you can see why Steph was taught at a young age, this is not how we're going to act.
Yeah.
And it's carried on to the highest level of the NBA.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you watch Steph, and I'm a huge fan of his. And, I mean, he'll celebrate. I mean, he'll do some fun things when he does something well. But he never makes it about him showing up the other team.
Absolutely.
He has a blast playing basketball. I mean, that's what's so much fun. Watching an athlete that just loves playing basketball or loves playing their sport. But he just has that joy. But it's his joy. It's not. He doesn't have a joy in showing up somebody else. He has a joy in winning. He has a joy playing the game, and that's why he's such a great role model.
Yeah.
Well, and that's a tough part today. And baseball is the controversy kind of brews about that. Is the fine line between having fun and showing the opponent up?
I don't know, the whole MLB. You know, was that 4 or 5 years ago? Let the kids play.
Yeah.
And that was so great on so many things and so bad on so many things because there was never this line. And honestly, it was tough. My first year announcing was when that kind of all started happening. And it was tough in the booth because it was like, you know, a guy would, you know, flip a bat and then you'd say something and they'd be like, oh, well, this guy's just grumpy and old and doesn't want the kids to have fun. But then there are also times where you'd see a guy flip a bat. He wouldn't run out of the box and the ball wouldn't go out and he's on first base. That's an issue.
Yeah.
Like that's a real problem. And so, you know, that's what I said. I kind of like it now in baseball, honestly, because the amount of people that are just flipping their bat or watching the ball, almost everybody's doing it now. Mm-hmm. So it's not become a big problem.
Right.
Like
right.
I don't have, like, you know, for instance, I do the Braves and Ronald Acuna, you know, look, we all know he loves to enjoy a good home run. Well, you go to the Mets, Pete Alonso does the same thing. So I'm like, you want to get mad at this guy? Well, get mad at your guy.
Yeah.
You know? Now, if you have a team full of people that just run around, everything, then maybe you got a point and you can go hit somebody. But it's like, you know, the whole what? Look under your own, you know,
right.
Mat, you know? So there's a fine line. But like I said, my big thing is when you start showing up the other team, that's when I have an issue.
So, Jeff, you started off talking about winning well and losing, and losing, or winning with grace, losing well, either one. Let's talk about that. I mean, we all say that, but what does that really look like? What does it look like to win well and to lose well?
Well, that's a great point. And I say this, that's where, to me, the coach has to really do a good job. Coaching 12U travel ball, for instance, you are locked up in a 7-7 game, last inning, your kids are giving everything they got, and all of a sudden you lose on a wild pitch. And now you're supposed to get in the line and shake hands and tell the guy's good game. Look, these kids are emotionally exhausted. They're mad. They wanted to win. And that's where I always say, I think your team's getting ready to go over and get in the line. That's where the coach has to say, boys, I know we fought hard here. Tell that team heck of a game because you all just played a great game with them. And I think if you had more coaches to be able to do that,
yeah.
I think you go through the thing and it's good. You know, we in 10U softball this year, we got beat by this team 3 times and we finally got on the right side and we actually beat them 12-0. And our girls were going nuts and we're about to go through the line. And I just stopped them real quick and I said, remember, this team's crushed us 3 times this year. So you go tell them great game and you shake their hands and be good. And they were.
Yeah.
But I think in that moment, if I don't say that, our girls are running over there, high-fiving them, jumping, you know. And it's just like you can't blame them. But at the same time, let's show some respect to a team that's beat you 3 times.
Well,
go ahead.
I'm sorry. I think there's 2 different levels of the challenge of sportsmanship. The challenge of what Jeff was talking about, which is you just got beat. And you're upset that you got beat, whether it was an unforced error, whether it was just a great play the other team made, and you're just bummed because you got beat. Especially the farther you go, like in a tournament or whatever, it's harder to lose. The next level of sportsmanship is when the other team doesn't display sportsmanship.
Yeah.
That is when, as a parent, as a coach, and as a parent, as an athlete, that where you really have to search deep. to still go shake their hand.
Yeah.
And realize again, even though they didn't display it, even though they acted a certain way, even though it gets you so much in your gut that they beat you and acted that way, that's when it gets tough. That's when it, you know, you can teach your kid, you know, look, the more games you're going to play, the higher levels you're going to play, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
It's because you're the more, that's just mathematics, and the better the competition, you're going to end up getting against teams that are better than you. I think that's something that's teachable. What's harder to teach is, even though they carried themselves in a way that you should not carry yourself, that doesn't mean you have to
go and stoop to their level.
Yeah,
100%. You take the high road,
and that's tougher for kids because they're fired up when they see
it's
that.
It's tougher for adults. It's tougher for parents. If you see, yeah. I think a lot. I mean, parents struggle with it as much as, or probably more so than the kids do a lot of times. So before we can act as role models, or before we can, you know, do as I say, not as I do. Yeah. You know, we have to kind of clean up our own actions first.
Yeah. So a big part of teaching it is modeling it.
Yep.
100%. You know, we talk about that. And I think for the three of us being men of faith too, that's where you think about it, you know, being a good role model, not just from, you know, being a dad or a mom, but being from a Christian,
yeah,
you know, standpoint. And then also, you know, being a, as my wife tells me all the time, be a leader above reproach. And
yeah,
as hard as that is at certain times, that's where that, to me, the building it in you day in and day out can come out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I know for me, I've been so much better this year because of what we've done here and the athletes we've listened to. I'm telling you, there's been so many moments. You're coaching 5 softball games on Saturday where so many of these things, I want to do this, and then it'll click, and something that has happened will happen. I'm like, oh, okay.
You're wearing that Pure Athlete logo on you. It kind of gives you that little extra.
Can't let down the two old guys sitting next to me.
Well, yeah. I mean, and having a mentor like Britt, who's coached back with Alonzo Stagg and those guys. John Wooden. I mean, it really is. To have you here.
You act like you're like a 20-something.
I am, in
you're
my like, heart.
You got less
you're like 2 years younger.
In my heart, I'm younger than
you. You know, you touched on something I think is cool, and that's, you know, is – where does faith come in on all this? And I mean, a tenet of our faith is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And sportsmanship is all about that, you know, and there are good things, maybe not in the moment, but there are good things that come out of taking that on as a mantra for life.
Well, and you teach your kids lessons. You teach them, this is how, you know, I tell the story still when I was in 5th grade, my mom took me to the playoff basketball game. I scored a bunch of points. We lost. And I flat out told the ref, my mom heard, I told him he sucked at the end of the game. And my mom got home, told my dad. My dad put me in the car right back up to that gym. And I had to sit there because they were in like the second quarter, wait till halftime. And I had to walk over to that ref and tell him I was sorry and do the whole thing. But, you know, like that stuck with me forever because I'm like, you know, you can't have an 11-year-old kid telling a ref that. And I'm so glad my dad did that. But it's, you know, little lessons like that that stick with you, I think, for the rest of your life.
Was he a bad ref, though?
It was horrible. It was horrible.
You know, I love that, though, Jeff, because, I mean, and we all need to remind ourselves as parents, our kids aren't going to be perfect.
No, you got to give them some grace.
Yeah, and so, I mean, you know, you can almost – I mean, none of us want our kids to act out and behave badly, but when they do, it gives us an opportunity to speak into that and to teach it. I'm reminded one of the guys in sports that's most admired for their behavior is Roger Federer. Yep. All over the world. You know, just classy as all get out, great sportsmanship, and he was terrible as a junior. Acted out all the time. His parents had a really difficult time with trying to get him to behave, but the journey, they took a long view and they disciplined him and they taught him. And today he's one of the most admired athletes in the world.
Well, it helps when you win all 4 majors every year.
It does too. Help for sure.
No, I'm just, I know what you're saying.
John McEnroe won them all.
Well, he couldn't control himself.
I mean, it's really kind of what we're all about here because the whole mission of Pure Athlete is how do we take this journey they're on, which is going to end young. It's going to end, whether it ends in high school, whether it ends in middle school, whether it ends when they're 25. How do you take this journey to help them to be better human beings? And part of that is teaching them to deal with this adversity, teaching them to deal with other folks who may not be acting the right way and you still carry yourself the right way, teaching them to be role models, teaching them to, as we say as Christians, glorify God and glorify Christ. That's part of it's what's it's awesome is we're getting, being able to teach them these life lessons in an area of their life that they love, which is sports, and that they're passionate about. And so this is such a key part of that. So because when they do get in the working world and they have a job and they have a boss or they have a fellow employee who's acting a certain way, this is hopefully something they've learned along the way when they swam or when they played tennis or when they played baseball, how to handle that.
And I think you said a good point too. Give them ample room to fail. They're going to mess up. They're going to get caught yelling at another kid for another team. This stuff's going to happen, but it's then teaching them the lesson and correcting the mistakes. I mean, look, like you said, they're not going to be perfect. But when you do see that behavior as a parent, as a coach, it's your responsibility to go in and fix that.
Well, and as parents, we're going to mess up too.
100%.
From the stands, we're going to mess up and our kids are going to hear us. And, you know, I mean, own it and mm-hmm. use it to teach your kids as well and, you know, and do better. I saw, you know, in the past couple of weeks, there's been a video that's kind of gone viral about a Little League coach, and there's many of these situations, but a Little League umpire, and he called the game. And these were like 8 or 9 year olds or something, and he called the game because he was just fed up with the parents arguing balls and strikes and being told to stop and stop and stop, and they just keep on going. Well, I mean, what are the kids learning?
Yeah. No, you're right. So all you do is see it complaining.
So why do you think, let's delve a little bit deeper. Why do you think, let's just talk parents first. Okay. Why do you think parents struggle with this from the stands?
Because they get caught in the moment.
So what do they truly think? I want to answer my own question. I'll let you guys go first. But what do you think, why do you think that they struggle? What is the deep core reason why you think they struggle with sportsmanship in the stands during a game, whether it's a Little League baseball game or a soccer game? Why do you think they struggle with it?
Well, first of all, sometimes half the parents don't even know what's going on. The God honest truth. You know, I mean, I think about it when you're coaching a team, you're there at practice every day, you know the kids that are working, you know. So now all of a sudden you're in the stands. Oh, my kid's not getting the opportunity to do this. So now they're mad to begin with from that. And I think that's a whole nother issue we get into another day, but it's like,
that's another type of sportsmanship.
I truly think some of the parents don't understand everything. Yeah. They don't understand the game. They don't know what's going on. They just maybe hear that guy's dad yelling, so I'm going to join in and yell, you know? And that's what I said. Like I truly think the best thing you can do as parents is sit in the stands, just sit there and watch your kids.
Well, Brett, I'll let you answer first because I've got an answer to my own question, but I'll let you answer that.
You served up that question. So
served up for himself.
In the business, it's called a softball.
So just be.
It's cliche to, you know, one of the cliches is to say that parents are living through their kids. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an easy cliche that some people are. But I just, you know, parents are just, they get so emotionally involved and engaged in, you know, a 10-year-old's sports event, and I say this because I've done it too, that, you know, you just lose perspective of the big picture and the fact that what happens today at 10 years old doesn't really matter mm-hmm. in the grand scheme of life. And so, you know, you care too much.
Yeah, it's my opinion is, and this is from Little League and then now as a high school athletic director watching parents, I genuinely think when it comes to like referees or umpires, there's some kind of thought that they think that umpire is against their team. I mean, they genuinely think this poor kid who's making, what, $25 a game.
Who could care less.
Who's just trying
about
to
– either of your teams.
Just trying to pay off his car and is working a Saturday morning game between 2 8-year-old teams that they think that umpire somehow is against their team.
Yeah.
And it gets worse when it gets to high school because I guess it means more, I guess.
Yeah.
But I think they feel like they're getting a raw deal. And you have to kind of step back and realize – you know, 99.9% of the time that referee is not cheering for one of the two teams. And you have to get over that. Yeah. But I mean, I think that there's some kind of, whether it's conspiracy or whatever, but it's funny to say that, but I'm just telling you, I've seen it so many times where they think that they've got it out for their team.
Yeah. I also think too, as parents, you think about it, like, what do you find yourself worth in?
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a big thing. Like truly, is that winning that game at 2 o'clock on Saturday, is that, if that makes your week,
yeah,
we don't, we need to talk about a lot more than sportsmanship, because there's a lot bigger issues here. And it's true. You love watching your kids compete. You want them to win. But again, at the end of the day, if you can't get in the car 20 minutes after a tough loss and your kid's 12 years old,
yeah,
and have a good talk and move on, then you know what? You know, boy, you got a lot more issues.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you're not appreciating also that special time. The special time, Britt and I being much older, of course, I mean, looking back on our kids' journeys, the special times weren't the wins and
no.
winning a baseball tournament or a basketball tournament. The special times were eating a steak and shake after the game.
Yeah. You know, fresh and cheese.
Yeah. just, you know, and sounds just good. Win or lose, just having that time that hopefully your kid will always remember that you were intentional as a parent, and not intentional as a parent because you were so concerned with their sports journey in terms of where they came as an athlete, but more concerned with their sports journey as where they became as an individual. And hopefully they remember you're spending that time with them.
Yeah.
And that's hopefully their memories more so than any wins or losses.
Well, and I'll say also, you know, the times when somebody comes up, another parent comes up and comments on your kid's skill level in a sport is not near as meaningful mm-hmm. as when they come up and comment on your kid's character.
100%.
I mean, that means the world because you know that, yeah, that my kid's going to, he's going to carry that all through life.
Yep. It means a lot more than a double in the gap.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. So we, you know, as parents, again, I think it's good for us to challenge our listeners as we challenge ourselves that we need to strive for that. And we need to speak into sportsmanship and model it and teach our kids what that is, as much or more as we're talking about other stuff.
Yeah. And I think when you're listening to what we're talking about, again, don't take it as don't compete. Don't try to win. Don't, cause I've told you this, I tell my kids every time that scoreboard's on, you want to have more points than the other team. I said, but at the same time, you got to understand that there's going to be days that you don't, and you have to be able to deal with that, and you have to be able to move on. You got to be able to give due to the other people and tell them, you know, good game. I mean, that's the one great thing, you know, baseball, there's so many games, 162, but, you know, numerous times after a game that you'd come to your locker and someone would ask you, you know, you're 0-for-4, 3 Ks tonight, you know, and tip your cap to Jacob DeGrom. He struck out 16. What do you want us to do? Like yeah. that you have to be able to get to that at some point where you know, man, that person over there is trying to do the exact same thing to me, and today they got me.
Mm, yep. As a parent, and I can speak to my – how many times in that car ride to the game have you emphasized – this is rhetorical – have you emphasized – how you're going to carry yourself in that game.
Are you asking yourself another question?
I'm asking myself that question. So I'll answer it. No, but I'm just asking it out there. Like it's rhetorical because I am thinking back, like when I'm going, driving my kid to a baseball game, am I talking about how you carry yourself, how you're going to treat other folks on the field? Or am I talking about,
your foot down?
Yeah.
Get the bad head out.
The technical stuff.
You're right. That's a good thing to talk about.
Yeah. And I don't think I do it enough. I'm sure I don't. Yeah.
And how many times, you know, I think more than anything, and I've tried to do it more and more, is, you know, before they get out of the car, instead of telling them, keep your elbow up or, you know, do this, hey, have fun.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself.
What do you guys think about, I'll do my own softball question.
Britt, what do you think?
but pulling your kid out of a competition because they're behaving badly.
Oh, I got no issue with that, man.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if it's a close game, maybe. No, but no, yeah, definitely. No, I would pull.
Has anybody seen that happen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's happened to me.
Yeah.
My dad yanked me out of 2 or 3 games in my thing. One time in the middle of an inning. Didn't even wait for the inning to leave.
And what impact did that have on you?
Oh, huge. At first, I was ready to fight with them and be like, this is whatever. And then when you actually sit back and look at it, and again, this is where my dad sat me down. We had a huge talk. It wasn't yelling all the time. It was just, look, you're going to act like that. I'm not going to yell. You're coming out of the game.
Yeah.
You're not going to play.
Yeah.
And I think after a while, when you really kind of think about what goes on, sometimes that's the only way to get across to certain people.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the other thing is too, is having, as a coach, having the support of your parents, because they know you care about their girls or their boys, that if your kid acts like this, I'm pulling them.
Right.
We had a tournament, two tournaments ago, where our girls were not hustling. Yeah. And, you know, I've told you before, listen and hustle. Those are the only two things I require as a coach.
Yeah.
And so before the second to last game, I told them, I said, if I catch anybody not running hard down to first base, I'm not going to yell, but you're coming out of the game. You know, and but you have parents that support you in that.
Yeah.
Like, my kid needs to hustle.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, but that's hard, because I don't think a lot of parents sometimes support that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shame on them.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, they're saying I'm paying thousands of dollars to be on this travel team. Yeah. I'm going to come watch my kid play. But that's part of their job too, as parents, to have their kid act a certain way and listen to the coach.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen both sides. I'm sure y'all have too. And I'm sure our listeners have as well, where you see kids behave so badly and the parents just sits there. And you see other parents or ourselves where we've had to pull a kid off of a court or whatever and say, this is going to be painful today, but it's going to pay big dividends down the road.
100%. It's like the old saying, right? Give me some bruises, some scars. Yeah. Let my kids get scarred some so they grow.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
Yeah. So I think we've covered it.
You just got to ask yourself a couple questions, which was great.
Yeah, it was. This is probably a topic we could talk longer on, because it comes up every day.
Well, there's so many things. Like you said, you can go to Instagram right after we leave this and you can type it in. And I guarantee you somewhere in the last 3 days, there's been an umpire.
Oh, yeah.
There's been a basketball referee that's just walked off the court.
Yeah.
And then you really wonder sometimes when you see the videos of an actual parent or coach attacking a referee or attacking an umpire. That's when I'm like, what? You have lost your mind.
It happened near Atlanta about a month ago.
Yeah.
In a travel baseball game.
Mm. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. That's sad.
Yeah.
That's sad. Hopefully that's the extreme example of this. But
Yeah.
All
right. Well, thank you all for joining us. Hope you enjoy this. If you got some questions or something, send it to us. So we appreciate your time joining us.
Thanks for joining us today for the Pure Athlete Podcast. To hear more, find us anywhere you stream podcasts, as well as on our website at www.pureathleteinc.com. See you next time.